Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Got to give the people, what they want. This is your boy R.E. the Guido Tito. Welcome to another edition. Yes, we told you we would be having it more and more and more episodes every week, of course. Unlike other podcasts, we're doing episodes multiple times a week. This is Friday Night Fight Talk for the Bloody Knuckle Show. BK Show 1 on Twitter. It's the Bloody Knuckle Show Network. Stay tuned for other type of shows that we are coming out soon with, including a conspiracy theory show that we will be having as part of the Bloody Knuckle Show Network. And of course, you know, as college football slowly creeps on us throughout the summer, we'll be having those type of shows. And of course, the basketball playoffs coming, you know, we're going to go basketball heavy pretty soon. Just shout out to Golden State Warriors and Kobe Bryant real quick. Those achievements. Black Mamba, I love you, baby. 61 points to end of the career. On the line with me tonight, one of my favorite people in the world. I got to say, ladies and gentlemen, it dawned on me this week as I moved out of one of my other good friends. You know, we moved out. We're not living together anymore. And it dawned on me, man, what am I missing in Tallahassee, Florida? I'm missing my boy, Andrew Meredith, man. It is a presence. People who don't know him, my co-host, he's one of the funnest people on the planet to be around. One of the best friends you'll ever have on earth. I got to give him props on that. Usually I have a big spiel to go off on, but he's one of the best dudes. I got to give it to him. He is the co-host with the most. His motherfucking shit's always smelling like some fresh French toast. Plus the fact he does not need the boast. Yo, you know he's got a championship ring from FSU, plus the fact he told Lil Wayne the term bling bling. He is the man you don't want to get near. He is the man that starts campaigns that smear. He is the man who told, hold up world, damn, is that Mark Hunt or is that Frank Mir? He is the dude who told Brock Lesnar, it's all right, dude, do a little bit more steroids. Told Radum he'd be champion one day. Told Vitor Belfort, keep making your smoothies. And told Nate Diaz, keep that smile on your face, homie. It is the man who don't give a fuck. Slap your mama in the butt. Boss rooting middle fingers up. It is Andrew, Mr. Paychecks, Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? And I do have to say, you know, me and my host, he is, first of all, he is the best host in the business. Second of all, stuff, you know, I do have to say, I miss you too, Ryan. And I will say this, folks, Ryan, not only is he without a doubt, you know, my most loyal friend, always having my back, someone who I could count on if shit's about to go down, but he's probably one of the most loyal people in general. Like, I'm not even talking about out of my friends. I'm talking about in the world, so, you know.
I'm either the most loyal or I'm going to cut you off. That's my.
No, that's what I'm saying. If he fucks with you, you're good. But, you know, if he doesn't and you fucked up, unless you're Andrew Meredith, there are no more second chances.
Nobody else gets second chances other than Andrew Meredith.
But Ryan, real quick, I know this is a Friday Night Fight Talk, and we'll bust out to it. There's a lot of news. There's a lot of news to discuss. But it's something you touched on in the beginning. You know we're NBA heads around here. I have to ask you this. We saw this season in general was pretty goddamn exciting and good. And just think, we got the Rockets and Golden State in round one. Damn. I mean, Golden State just had to draw the Rockets.
Was it because Kobe beat Utah in that last game? Did that knock the Rockets out? Or Utah out? Because I know it was a close.
I'm not sure.
James Harden, Harden asked Kobe to beat Utah so they could get in. I know that was an article I read.
But, yeah, must be right now. I'm not going to lie, I'm not 100% sure. I expected Houston to make the playoffs, so I didn't pay that much attention down the stretch, to be honest, so I won't speak out my butt cheeks. But, Ryan, so, you know,
yeah, I don't know the matchup myself either.
Golden, so I know a few of them, but we saw Golden State beat a record that, honestly, I never thought was going to be broken.
It's amazing.
72-10. They go 73-9. Not only that, we see, you know, the career of an iconic legend.
I mean,
arguably top two, 1A, 1B, him and Jordan. You can't say
I have an argument. I have an argument.
Hold on real quick.
That he might be better than Jordan, but I'll let you finish.
But, you know, you have the 1A and, you know, the 1B. I'm just saying you can't mention one without the other. Kobe, you got to think who's going to – because Kobe took that Jordan torch and, you know what I mean? So who's going to be the next? LeBron's not that type of player. So that's going to be very intriguing to see. And not only that, Ryan, not to be forgotten, the San Antonio Spurs only lost 15 games this year. Just off
that's
the
amazing.
Top, you know, talk about some of these things. And also, can you remember a time – I'm trying to remember one in the playoffs where you had two teams in one conference this dominant, like looking forward to this matchup. If we don't see Golden State and San Antonio – in the playoffs, in the finals, I'm going to be very pissed off.
Yeah, I'll be very upset. And this is one thing I'm worried about. And I have a couple of topics before we get into Friday Night Fight Night on this, so I'll be quick about it. One thing I'm worried about, like when the Miami Heat were going for that win streak record, which is only a quarter of what Golden State, you know, went through, I'm worried that – I know that there are a bunch – they're a lot younger, but I'm worried that they might have burnt themselves out down the stretch, especially when you're dealing with a team like Houston in the first round. I mean, Houston's not great or anything, don't get me wrong, but they do have – we saw them last year, I mean, how far they went. They have one of the best scorers in the league. If Dwight Howard somehow comes around, you never know. Golden State has a freak injury or something. Like, what if Steph Curry gets hurt because he – you know, it would just be a tragedy. But I'm worried about Golden State throughout these playoffs just because they showed everybody everything they have in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Like, every trick in their book, they showed. And last year, they showed it to everyone. You know, there's not a lot of the tricks they can just bust out this year because right now it's just purely on talent. And if they have a game or a series where someone's able to shut down Steph Curry, we saw – Cleveland did that, but they still ended up winning. But they're really going to need other players like Harrison Barnes this year to really step up. It would be a shame if they broke that record and then ended up, you know, not winning or not, you know.
Yeah.
I want to see this team become a dynasty. But, Andrew, I got to say this. First off, I got to say, you know, I'm looking forward to the Eastern Conference playoffs, but I really hope the Eastern Conference puts up a fight. I mean, Cleveland is so dysfunctional. I can see them melting down. I want to see the damn seeding because I really want to see Miami-Cleveland in the playoffs. I really hope that happens. I've been.
All I know is my Hawks are taking on the Celtics, and we have the fourth seed.
Ah, damn. All right, because I thought it was going to be the Miami, the Hawks, and then, you know, Cleveland would have to play maybe Miami or the Hawks in the second round. But, of course, Cleveland might play like Boston or the Hawks second round. I was hoping they would get Miami second round. But hopefully Miami can make it through. But Toronto is no one to mess with either, especially if they're fully healthy. Do you know who Cleveland is playing in the first round? Is it Indiana? Because I really want to see
Detroit.
That
Detroit got
God damn it. Eastern
Which
Conference
Ryan,
every
I mean,
year. The matchups I want – don't get me wrong, I love Detroit, but I wanted to see Paul George, LeBron. Like, that's
what
I wanted.
Wait, Indiana didn't make the playoffs?
I'm not sure, but I wanted to see that first round. I know they were, like, you know, teetering on the 7th, 8th seed. I'm sure they maybe made it further up in the rankings, maybe. I'm not sure, but
well, they would have to be, well, I mean, when you look at it this way, they would have to be the 7th seed because it looks like Miami is the 6th.
Then who's the third?
The third is, oh, no, the third would have to be Miami. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ryan, but
Miami,
we should get off these playoffs.
Oh, and I got to say this, Andrew. All right. So, hypothetically, 7-game series. I'm going to say my statement on Kobe Bryant real quick after this. But if Golden State played those Chicago Bulls in a 7-game series, but, you know, that year Chicago, but I know you got Jordan. But do you think it's a series, and do you think Golden State could win that series? Because Steph Curry hit 400 threes this year. I mean, you got to say he might be just as good as a scorer as Jordan. I mean, it's crazy. No one's ever hit that many. He hit more threes this season than Magic Johnson did in his career. I mean,
he probably hit more threes than some teams did this year. I mean,
no, he did. He averaged
absurd.
More than teams, and he also averaged more than, like, the top 20 scorers or something. Or he had, like, a combined more than, like, a lot of the top 20. There's some absurd numbers if you look it up. But how do you see – do you think Golden State could win that series?
Ryan, I'm going to have to say yes because they're shooting. And, you know, one of the big questions when people
bring
up
that series.
There's so
many guys that start Jordan
is,
still on that team.
Exactly. And then we also have to ask what rules are we playing? Because nowadays, Jordan might drop 62. But, I mean, I'm going to have to say yes, though. I mean, this team broke the record in the West. You know, we know how tough the West is. I know the East was very, very tough back in the day. But, I mean, it's very comparable to what the West – you know what I mean? The West is a juggernaut.
Yeah.
This team, they didn't even – they barely lost to any teams in the East. I mean, it is stupid. It is so good. Like, I mean, it's tough. You know, both teams are so great. I mean, right now I'm going to say Golden State, but I will say this. You know, they do have to win it all now because, granted, they may have beaten the Bulls' record by 1 game.
That would deflate their run.
They need to bring home the gold to beat that team, Ryan. Because, I mean, if this team doesn't win it all, we might not be having this discussion. And I have to say, right now, I haven't made my official prediction yet, but right now I would not be surprised if the Spurs upset them. Well, I don't even know if you can call that much of an upset.
I might be picking Cleveland to lose in the East, my friend, but we'll go into our picks in an NBA podcast. We'll do that. But I see where you're
final
coming
thoughts
from.
On Kobe to put a bow
but
on.
But yeah, I do have something I got to say about that. But I'll let you go first.
First off, you know Kobe being Bryant. First of all, my breakdown will be nothing compared to Ryan's. I mean, Kobe is one of Ryan's idols. The Lakers are his team. I can say this as someone who didn't always really like the Lakers. I liked them when they had Shaq, then I liked Shaq when we went to the Heat. As Ryan knows, I bounced around from a lot of NBA teams, but, you know, for some reason I got stuck on the Hawks. Go figure. but as someone watching him who wasn't always rooting for him, goddamn, I hated that son of a bitch. He was too good. He was too fucking good. I hated him with a passion. He would continuously ice games. Just his demeanor, how he plays. And, you know, he'll also... Like when he dropped the 81, it wasn't like there were a lot of his scoring plays weren't individually. He's just so technically sound and smart with the basketball.
So
his techniques and moves are just because, I mean, Kobe doesn't have a ton of those, like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like a ton of those, like, high flying, you know, crazy, but he's just so just an assassin.
He wasn't
with repetition. And Ryan, the only thing I'm hoping to see now, I'm so sad that Kobe's gone, but, you know, Jordan to Kobe and hopefully Kobe to Steph Curry, because I really don't think we can compare LeBron to these types of players. I mean, he's just
no,
LeBron. You know, no.
You just can't. I mean, like, LeBron, just the finals record and the meltdown and the way he's treated Cleveland since he's been back, it's just, I got to say this, and I would have a longer Kobe breakdown on our NBA podcast, but I'm going to break it down like this. First off, this is a guy who stuck with the same team his entire career, and there were some years, a lot of years, where he could have left and went, like LeBron, and fought, you know, went to a team that had a stacked team and got that other championship. But he was a Laker for life. And I respect that out of a player. And this is a guy, if he didn't play basketball, he would be a billionaire still. He just has that attitude. He has that killer mentality. And I love how in today's NBA, where everyone's slapping each other's butt and kissing each other's, Kobe was the guy who showed up, you know, and told Dwight Howard, I'm not handing my team to you. You know, like, you're going to do what I say. He is not the guy that is going to court players. He was the guy that, you know, get on the program or you cannot be part of a championship team, because he's not an ass kisser. He is a killer.
Nope.
And to me, it's a guy that, you know, it was always, he did it his way, and he did it his way to 5 championships and could have had more, arguably could have
been his
record. Yeah, exactly. And my final, I mean, I'm going to have a longer spiel on him in our NBA podcast, but I got to say this real quick. The reason why I could argue why I think he might be better than Jordan, one, it opened my eyes when I saw him in his last game, when easily most players would have maybe dropped 20 points. The man went out there and put up, what, 60, 61 points and hit the game winner, I believe, and knocked Utah out of the playoffs. And they were guarding him tight in that game. They weren't giving him shots. The man went off. That shows his winning ability. And Jordan had the same team throughout his championship run. Scottie Pippen, you know, they brought Dennis Rodman in. He always had the same team, the same coach surrounding, you know, Phil. But, you know, Phil, you know, was in and out. He was with Kobe in his championship years. But if Kobe would have had that same team, he had to adjust with Pau Gasol and, you know, always switching teams in his championship year. If it had his, you know, that Shaq team, or just had the same team throughout his career, who knows? He could have maybe beat Jordan. And I think he is just as dynamic as Jordan at scoring the basketball and was one of the best defenders in his prime. One of the best ever. Kobe Bryant, we will miss you. Andrew, let's get the Friday night fight talk.
I just have to say, real quick, one last thing for Kobe Bean. Sorry to cut you off like that. A defining moment, maybe one moment in his career that, you know, is going to stick out to you the most. I'll go first. Mine was, as Ryan was just saying, his ability to go to 3 straight finals and win the last two with Pau Gasol and then Shannon Brown. And it was pretty much Kobe Bryant and the Funky Bunch. You got Andrew Bryan almost breaking his knee, trying to hold up. It was Kobe Bryant and the Funky Bunch. And to finish it off by beating the Celtics, the team that was way more stacked than them, dismantled them the first time, being able to win that, gut it out in the 7th game series, that to me is the defining moment for Kobe Bryant. His proven ability to not only win without Shaq, he went back-to-back without Shaq.
Yeah. And
he went back-to-back without Shaq if they had somewhat of a better team when they first faced off against the Celtics. That's my defining career moment for Kobe Bryant.
I totally agree. And I also have to say, a defining moment to me, I know it's a bad year to look back on, but when D'Antoni was fucking everything up and Kobe Bryant called a player-only meeting and somehow got the most difficult player, Dwight Howard, to finally buy in after all the year that was ruined, and they won like 27 out of 31 games, and Kobe literally had to get dragged off the court because he tore his knee, and he hit the show that killer spirit with a torn Achilles, led that team. Look at the numbers he put up to get that team into the playoffs, because he knew he had Dwight and Powell on his team and that they should have been a championship-level team. He knew they had to make the playoffs, and the way he led that team and pretty much had to coach that team because they had Dan Tinglish, as they call him, because the dude can't speak English, coaching the team. Kobe, you deserve better at the end of your career than the Lakers gave you, but thank you for all the great memories, my brother. I love you, and you are an idol to all the players coming up. You should study Jordan, study Kobe. Don't study LeBron's and Carmelo's. Study these killers like the Westbrooks and the Kobe's, and hopefully more guys like Westbrook that are like Kobe are going to come around. But Andrew, we got to get to some Friday night fight talk for the people.
Yes, sir.
Do you
yes,
want to
sir.
Start a little bit off with the boxing, or do you want to start with the
Let's
UFC
start with the bombshell
tomorrow?
That dropped.
Oh, okay.
You know, this Lyoto Machida getting busted for steroids. I mean, what
was
is
it
this?
Officially steroids? Yeah.
What do you think he failed for, man?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know what's crazy about this? And the UFC now has no control over this because they put this I forget what it's called, UADA or whatever it's called, testing,
yeah.
That they showed up at Serena Williams' house at 2 a.m. We all know Serena's taking something. And she locked herself in her safe room and claimed that people were trying to break into her house to avoid a piss test. These people can show up at any time. And actually, another fighter on the card also just failed. He was an undercard guy. This is the most serious testing ever. And the UFC might have bit themselves in the ass doing this, looking at the guys who are failing. And if the UFC is going to have this strict of a drug testing, then we got to know, like Glover Teixeira came out and said, you know, it seems like the Brazilians, a lot of people are fucking up, not just Brazilians. But he said, you know, we got to know what over-the-counter supplements are illegal, because he claimed that Machida failed on a GNC-type product. And there is not, like, the list of products that you could fail for, there's, like, 300 to 500 things you can fail for. And there's supplements that have, like, 2% of some of these things in them that you can fail for. I mean, it is crazy. But for Machida to fail, the fact that these guys test you 5 times a year and they can wake you up at 3 a.m. and you have to be there and you have to test, but the fact that Machida failed before the fight,
the
drug
week
test,
of the fight, the week
which
of the
is
fight,
the one that you always pass. You know, you fail the random ones, but you have to cycle off whatever you're on the week of the fight. It's just an embarrassment. And if Wanderlei Silva got 2 years, then Machida needs equal punishment. I don't care what he better be banned for 2 years. And you got to say, Andrew, that must be the end of Lyoto Machida. Is this another guy who officially, you know, the Machida era? What a bad era.
That
I know
ended,
he had a big win.
That ended like 3 years,
like,
4 years
yeah.
ago when Rockhold put a pin in that for good.
What a bad quote by Joe Rogan. Like, we'll always remember that quote. This is the Machida era. Oh, no, it's not. I mean, it was officially the end of the Machida era. I mean, I just don't know how he's going to bounce back. Do you see this as, you know, another guy who's going to eventually end up in Bellator maybe? Because that would be huge. I mean, he still has
yeah.
that name. But, I mean, you know, is he going to go overseas? Is he going to stay loyal to the UFC and wait 2 years? You know, what do you think of this? Dan Henderson is now fighting Hector Lombard. Ooh, this
that's
UFC 199. Also on that card, there was a
So Hector's not fighting tomorrow.
No, Hector's not fighting tomorrow. It's 199.
Fuck, man.
I wish.
What
he
a
was.
Terrible card, dude.
Oh yeah,
that room
torn apart. I mean, the co-main event is now Rose Namajunas or whatever. She's
yeah.
up there with Rashad and Glover, and then also Khabib's fighting some nobody. It's a terrible Fox card. Fox has to be pissed off. This is one of the most stacked cards I thought ever. I texted you when it
yeah.
first got announced. They better bump Cub Swanson onto the main card, because at least that was a pretty damn, you know, good undercard fight. It's just bad. Overall, I mean, what do you think about this car? What do you think about the failed drug test? Do you see more guys in the future? I mean, do you think this is going to bite the UFC on the ass? I mean, is Nate Diaz really going to be able to pass 5 weed tests by the time UFC 200 comes around? You know what I'm saying? Like, and if Machida is positive, I mean, who? I mean, that does not look like a guy on steroids. Like,
no.
Who else out there is Conor McGregor at this point? I mean, who else could be on it? You never know.
At first of all, this what we see happening now, it's kind of funny to me. It's like, I guess this is what I get, is what we get. Because I remember the fans, included the media, they were calling for Olympic-style drug testing. I think we all know why George really retired. I think George claimed people were on stuff. Wrong, George.
He had
now
so
people
much
aren't.
Steroids in him, he needed 3 years to get it out of him.
Right. But all in all, first thing I have to say with Machida, God damn you. Because I remember I forgot about this card, right? And then I got an update on Bleacher Report. Breakdown, countdown, breakdown of the fight card. Lyoto Machida, Dan Henderson 2, and Rashad against Glover. And
they
I
had
just
to call
in my head.
Rogan 10 times to do his breakdowns of the fights because there were
right.
so many changes.
I was
excited,
though. So excited. Then, later that day, the news broke. Machida failed his drug test, and he's out. For Machida, this very well, I don't know. He's going to get banned. Who knows when he'll be able to come back. He might have to go fight in that promotion that Wandy's fighting
Risen.
In.
Risen.
Yeah, Risen
Bellator. It's like a co-producer.
We'll see. But to my original point, though, for the UFC, they were getting
Machida.
They were getting a lot of pressure, though. to have this style of drug testing. And I kind of realize now in hindsight why Dana fought it so much to have this. He tried. Dana did try to delay this from happening. It's crazy, too, if you look at pictures of fighters before it happened and now it's absurd. But, this is just the way it is now. Like, these are the new rules, and you have to evolve. You have to evolve. It's proven now. If you cheat, you're going to get caught. We've seen Anderson Silva, Frank Mir, and Lyoto Machida. Oh, like, come on, all right, those are three guys I didn't think were roiding.
No.
Especially Frank, after how he looked in his last fight.
Is it the
Ryan,
dick pills?
I really think...
Is it the dick pills? Are the dick pills the problem?
Anderson gave Lyoto some of his dick pills.
Yeah, it has to be. No, Steven Seagal gave him both dick pills. That's what happened. Steven Seagal taught them... front kicks and dick pills. That's what happened.
But, serious note, though. What you were talking about earlier, I think, is hitting the nail on the head about the supplements and GHC and what can and what can't you put in your body. That really needs to be outlined. And the fighters, I'm sorry, you're a professional athlete. You need to do your due diligence of what you're putting in your body. And also, in the sport of mixed martial arts, let's be honest, Ryan, you really can't give a fighter the benefit of the doubt for testing positive for steroids. Football in general, it's something you can't be naive to. You know what I mean? Like, I ate some goat meat. The goat was juicy.
Because football, they ain't testing for shit, really.
No,
not
football, football doesn't
reason.
Test for the PEDs. They're smooth.
So
they only test for certain ones.
They're like, you got a month for your drug test, buddy, and then they call them back an hour later. Just to remind you, you got a month, buddy. We're going to give you put a reminder on your phone every hour so you can cycle off whatever you're on. But before we make UFC 10, this is Andrew. I got the other bombshell of the week. We kind of forgot about it, but it was the official announcement. The bill got signed. There's no more fighting it. And by the way, while I have this spiel, I got big news for you. But before I say that, the UFC officially announced UFC 205 will be in Madison Square Garden.
Oof.
The bill
Oof.
Got announced, and Ronda Rousey and Chris Weidman were at the signing. So... Ronda Rousey said she will be coming back in November, and the UFC, when is the event? It is going to be in November.
Oh.
So I believe we will be having Ronda Rousey, and the UFC said it will be a mega event like UFC 200, and they guarantee there will be at least one title fight on the card. There's rumors it might be Holly Holm, Ronda, and then a title fight. Maybe if Chris Weidman has the belt, who knows? Maybe John Jones, Cormier. The other bomb, you know, part of that bombshell I had for you, John Jones, as the idiot he is, because he's John Jones, he's such a dumbass. Instead of saying he wanted to be the first fighter to fight in Madison Square Garden against Daniel Cormier and what would be one of the epic, you know, fights for them to, he said, no, I want my first fight in New York to be in Rochester.
Hey.
No, I guess that's where he's from or whatever. He's from up there. But John Jones wants to fight in Rochester. So at some point, Andrew, you are going to see, I think, John Jones in Rochester, my friend. At some point.
I don't think.
Yeah, if I was you, I'd be going on a bus to fucking UFC New York Madison Square Garden. That shit is going to be off the chain. But, Andrew,
Tsunami go by yourself.
I would find a homeless man to go with me if I had to. I mean, shit. I will be buying 2 tickets and just flash them to every girl I see and say, hey, you know, come with me. I would find somebody. But first off, congratulations to UFC. Second off, this is going to be the return of Ronda. And, you know, what are you thinking with this card? Are you thinking this is going to be where they're going to put John Jones, Cormier? We see Chris Weidman, he's from New York. He's so big in New York. You know, are they maybe thinking about if he wins the title, maybe I'm in a third fight with Rockhold there? You know, what are you thinking about UFC in New York? I think it's obvious Ronda's going to be on the card. Do you think that's enough, or you think they're going to stack it up more? I think definitely John Jones, Cormier, and then having Ronda on the card is what they should, with Weidman supporting, is what they should be starting off in New York. And how big is it for the UFC to have a fight in Madison Square Garden? Do you think this is kind of going to be the new home for the UFC?
To answer that real quick, I think it's going to be the second home away from home. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know if they'll ever leave Vegas, just the history of fights. But, I mean, shit, they're going to come to MSG as much as they can. You'd be a fool not to. This is monumental for mixed martial arts in general. We're going to get some Bellator events there. This is just great for MMA fans. And I got to say, Andrew Cuomo, he signed the bill. I voted for that guy a couple years ago, back when I first moved up here. No, right, I think, you know, this is, you know, besides the first time when I voted for Obama, this is the second time when I voted in my life, and I've actually been pleased with something they've done. But moving on real quick. So this card, what's hard about it, Ryan, talking about 205 is so far out. So we don't – I hope we see DC and John Jones before it.
Who knows if the UFC will have fighters anymore with the drug testing.
Right.
It might just be a whole new crop of people. Conor McGregor. Who knows?
Conor McGregor and maybe Frankie Edgar if he wins.
Oh, that would be huge.
Frankie Edgar, New York guy.
Underground New York, supposedly.
But, Ryan,
this
is card, though, in my opinion, you have to, I feel like, you have to, if John Jones isn't on it, that's all right, but, you know, got to have Ronda Weidman insert
a
title fight. But you have to load this card up with New York fighters. All I have to say is this is huge. This is huge. I love it, you know, Ryan. And it's just great for mixed martial arts. This card is going to be epic. But, again, I have to say I'm very interested to see how the chips will fall. I mean, this is still, what, seven or six pay-per-view cards away from happening. So we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know who can have the belts in November, especially after a year like this year, Ryan. Ryan, let me get your finishing thoughts on that, if you have any. And then I do have a blazing topic we need to bring up. We've been talking it forever, and it's happening. We got to touch on it again.
All right, and we also got our predictions in and a little Anthony Joshua. But, yeah, I'm just real happy to see UFC in New York. I'm hoping they go to Barclays, too. I'm hoping that they do a Madison Square. I really want to see John Jones Cormier there. I just think that's a historic type matchup to start, and John Jones is from New York, and it's definitely going to be Ronda on that card. She wouldn't have been there otherwise. And, you know, I would love to see maybe Conor follow it up in the Barclays, where it's the big Irish community, you know, take over New York from boxing. I think that's what the UFC's mission should be now. Screw the UK, screw India, all these other crap they're trying to do. You know, take New York from boxing. I think that would be the blow that the UFC needs to do to just keep getting bigger, because it's becoming such a big sport. I don't think we're even realizing, you know, just with the pay-per-view numbers, what Conor McGregor and even Ronda, and if John Jones, we'll see how he, without Cormier, we'll see what John Jones' real star power is against OSP. But they have their three big stars, and they're doing a good job of, you know, really, you know, promoting those three people. But we'll see, you know, by the time that rolls around, where these stars are at, and hopefully, you know, Ronda will be ready, and I am looking forward to it. I'm proud to say that New York, the ass-backwards city that it is, took this long, but finally, the greatest sport in the world is in New York. I'm very happy where my family is from.
I mean, this is great, Ryan. I mean, how can we not be happy? Just a monumental day, Ryan, the other thing I want to talk about is that other promotion. It's something we talked about for a while. You brought up earlier, you know, could Rashida end up being Bellator bound and whatnot?
Oh, yeah.
The way Bellator is starting to land free agents, I mean, they've gotten five or six guys now, and guys who could still fight
and
in
Rory
the UFC.
Are going there,
exactly.
Know?
So we can still, you know, I feel like this is a move that is going to continue to trend. You know, fighters with sponsorships, without sponsorships, you know what I mean? There's not the Reebok deal. I mean, and when any time you pluck a guy like Benson Henderson from the UFC roster, I mean, that was a major, major
win. And is that tomorrow,
win.
Too?
I'm not 100% sure.
I know Bellator Kickboxing is officially tomorrow, and I think that's bigger than UFC on Fox. Like, which card I would rather watch?
I'm going to have to agree. And, Ryan, you know Scott Coker's getting in that New York market. I forget where he was in talks. It might have been the Barclays. But, all right, Ryan, so we're starting to see these trends. And if that is, you know, tonight, you know, you have a night where Benson's fighting someone in Bellator, and then you just have that, you know, this generic UFC card that's been marred by injuries. I mean, this is a UFC card where, honestly, Ryan, I'll flip it over for the title fight. You know what I mean? Depending on what I'm doing, if I'm not doing anything,
no.
It's on, I'll watch it. But it's a title fight event. I don't even really care about the title fight.
And
unless,
there is
of course,
no,
you know,
there
what
is
I'm
no
doing.
Title fight. So
I should say main event. But, Ryan, when you're starting to see these moves, and Bellator, the one thing that I feel like they can do that the UFC can't do anymore, is not doing anymore, is promoting – building talent, building stars.
Oh, yeah.
If they continue to pluck Benson Anderson's an A-plus fighter, that was an A-grade steal. But if you can pull maybe one or two more A guys, continue to pull some B guys and C guys, and continue to grow and promote your talent and build your talent, I mean, Ryan, we got to think the fighting landscape and just how big the UFC is getting in general. I mean, in 5 years from now, I really see Bellator catching up. What are your thoughts on everything and how crazy and outside the box Scott Coker is making things exciting? What are your thoughts on anything? The guys getting plucked? Any potential guys you could see Bellator trying to target? What's your thoughts on everything? And where do you see it in 5 years?
Bellator is going to be that rare promotion that actually makes it, because they picked the right guy. Scott Coker took Strikeforce from a local promotion and really made it huge. And if he had the right backers, it wasn't Showtime. It was a different group that owned it. And, you know, they put so much money into Fedor, and unfortunately they caught him at the wrong moment. And you see Scott Coker, he didn't bring Fedor in right away. Instead, he had Spike, you know, promoting Fedor. And the way that now that they have Spike, that, you know, they're doing deals with other companies like Risen, to where they'll put their fighters on a Risen card like King Mo and have it on Spike. I mean, the sky's the limit. Now they're doing kickboxing. Like, it's no longer just Bellator. It's Spike behind Bellator. Spike owns Bellator. And Spike is way too proud to let Bellator fail. And Spike also has, arguably, Viacom has more money than the UFC. So now every fighter the UFC is going to have to fight for. And I just think they got the right guys for the job. If Born Revenue was still behind Bellator, it would be out of business.
Born Ready.
I mean, think about it, Andrew. With Bellator kickboxing, not only do you can get all the best kickboxers in the world, but now you can start putting kickboxers in the MMA cage, and how much more exciting that becomes, having a Joe Schilling in there, a Tyrone Spong, a Melvin Manhoef. Those are guys you want to watch. And if you look at Bellator's up-and-coming cards, it's not all fixed. They have so much young talent. Michael Chandler, you know, MVP, Leon McGarry, who's from New York, who I think he should be fighting Rampage on the first New York card for Bellator. He already beat Tito, build him up. I think he'll be fighting the winner of King Mo, Phil Davis. But so much young talent. They have so much young talent to grow. And I just think they're doing the right thing. And Bellator is just, like you said, a Brock Lesnar-type signing away. Not even that, just a couple more big UFC fighters. And once that shitty promotion, World Series of Fighting, goes out of business, all those free agents that will be available, we'll see how big Bellator's influence is, because what are the fighters going to choose? Are they going to choose the money Bellator's offering or the UFC name? Because we're seeing now the UFC's dumb Reebok deal is affecting where fighters are going, like Ed Roof, one of the best prospects in MMA, signing with Bellator, and Aaron Pinko, because they can keep their sponsorship deals. Benson Henderson and Josh Thompson said it best, the grass is greener on the other side. Vitor Belfort lost, he said, up to like $10 million in sponsorship dollars. The guy who made the most money on the last UFC card was Gabriel Gonzalez. JDS only made $20,000 off of Reebok, or like $10,000. Because Gabriel Gonzalez, because he was the longest, he had been in the UFC the longest. Are you fucking kidding me? That's your new, they changed it up. That was their big new thing. So you're telling me Ronda's going to make less than some person who's been in the UFC longer? That is just such a dumb way to do business. I just think the UFC shot themselves in the foot by, making that deal with Reebok. We'll see how it works out in the future. But Bellator, look out for the kickboxing tomorrow. Bellator is doing big things. I cannot wait. Andrew, real quick, officially, who do you have, Rashad Evans or Glover Teixeira?
Fuck it, I'm going Sugar Rashad. Honestly, I'm going Rashad, even though I could see him getting knocked the fuck out. I don't know how he's gonna win, but I'm going Rashad.
I think Rashad might be able to edge out a decision, but I'm going Glover. I think he's just all around better right now. That's like a challenge with the guys who don't show up for the big time. Some other fighters that kind of stand out on the card. We got Khabib coming back, and we're both going to pick him.
He's fighting another one.
There's really nothing else. With 2 minutes left, that's how bad that card is.
Anthony Joshua talking.
Yeah, I got to tell the folks this. Anthony Joshua won the IBF heavyweight title. Andrew, I told you to watch him. I've been hyping him up. This man is, in my opinion, he has the potential to be a Mike Tyson figure in boxing. He's an Olympic gold medalist, 6'5", and he has knockout power. His first championship fight ever against a silver medalist, Charles Martin, in the Olympics. They fought the other week. It was a second-round knockout. Ladies and gentlemen, check it out. This guy is an absolute star already in the UK, And once he starts getting to America, the sky is the limit. He looks like he looks like Mr. Olympia in boxing gloves. He has the UK back, backing, like we see what that does with like a Conor McGregor, a Ricky Hatton, and he has knockout ability, but he also has technical ability like a Lennox Lewis. If he keeps his head on straight,